today, August 16th of 2015, about life through the Spirit. We're going to get into the book of Romans chapter 8, start at verse 1 and go through verse 17. My outline is a series of questions. What are the two ways, the two choices we have? How does it work? Who's in control? And who's your daddy? Are my points. So, I'm going to have you draw three diagrams or maps, and I want you to draw them that look like this one, and they'll hopefully show us how to get victory over this conflict. This is the diagram I want you to draw three different times. It's a spirit, soul, and body, and you can start from the middle and work your way out, or be out and work your way in. If you want to make your body tall and skinny instead of round and plump like mine, you could do that, but make a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when you divide up your spirit, divide it up into three parts, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you can go ahead and draw three like that. We're going to label them different. We're going to talk about different aspects of it. This is actually a diagram that Julie discovered in 1985. I was stubborn enough that I didn't look at it till 1987, but that's actually Julie's why there in the my. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, when we began looking at the book of Romans, 1 and 2 Thessalonians are among the first four books of the Bible ever written in the New Testament. I think this is the second book written in the New Testament. And here's what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. Let God himself, the Spirit of peace, sanctify you through and through. So this Spirit of peace is the one that does the work. The Holy Spirit does this work, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's where we came up with the three parts of the diagram, where you have a spiritual part, a soul part, and a body part. Now, what Paul wrote here is that it may be kept blameless, leading us to think that there's a possibility that someone who knows the Spirit of God could become entangled in things that when they met the Lord Jesus face to face could lead to problems. So as we look at this life through the Spirit, I don't teach it like some churches do, that it's one and done. All you got to do is pray a sinner's prayer and that's it. You punch your ticket to heaven. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to work on your life. You don't have to work on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter a zip how you live. That's not what I believe. I believe we're accountable for everything. And that God works on us in all of aspects of our spirit, soul, and body. Now, whoa, that went too fast. So, as we do our diagram drawing, don't worry if you don't get all the parts the first time you see it, because I'm going to show it to you like three times today. I heard it said this week when I was listening to the radio that Christianity is not moving as fast as some other religions, and the speaker thought it was because Christians cannot express the truths they believe. And I thought about it that in most other religions that are moving rapidly across the planet, their contingencies have a very educated, accurate expression of what they believe. So, how does one define spiritual? You're going to sit down with somebody. How would you explain a spirit to someone? In today's culture, you got 25 words or less to explain to them what a spirit is. How would you do it? Do you have it thought through? Do you have short, succinct phrases to clearly articulate what it is that the Bible says and you want to communicate? Jesus tried to share that with Nicodemus and walked away really disappointed that he couldn't think about the spiritual realm. In John 3:8, it says the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from and where it's going. And so it is with the spirit of everyone that's born again. That's one of the ways that you can illustrate it. It's like the wind. And the spirit in a believer is like that. You can't see it. You can't smell it, touch it, hear it. But you sense its movement. Now, how big is the spirit? How big is the spirit? This week we went through a tale of a comet. And so I was one of the people that was out in the backyard. Beautiful, crisp, clear night. And I was watching the garbage burn up in the sky from going through this comet's tail. And I thought the spirit of God is bigger than all that I see up there in the starry host. Would you agree with me on that? Spirit's that big. How small is a spirit? How little are they? When C.S. Lewis was writing one of his books about demonic activity, the name escapes me right now. I'll think of it in a minute. But he said he saw the end of a needle with 10,000 demons on it. 10,000 demons will fit on the end of a needle, and yet the spirit is big enough to encompass the whole heavenly realm. There isn't anything so small that we can see with our big microscopes that is too little for God to get into. There isn't anything too big. Now, in 25 words or less, how would you explain love? And I don't mean like human love. I mean love with God. How would you do that? How would you explain joy to somebody in 25 words or less? And not joy that the Packers or the Bears won, but biblical joy about a relationship with the Spirit. Or how would you explain peace? I was in the VA hospital and I asked a vet, how would you explain peace? He says, well, it's when all the shooting stops and the smoke goes away and you're still alive. I said, well, yeah, that is kind of peaceful. How would you explain patience? What it is? Obviously needed in people's lives in this call. How would you explain kindness to me? Sit down next to me in 25 words or less. How would you explain kindness? How would you explain gentleness? You could demonstrate it, but how would you talk it through? How would you put self-control into 25 words or less? See, all of these things are the effects of the Spirit in our lives. And if we experience them, and we want other people to experience them, we should take the time to figure out how to do it. What's more powerful, the physical realm or the spiritual realm? Oh my, I probably better get moving. What are the two ways, the two choices we have? Do you ever think about how many twos God made in us? You know, he didn't give you three eyes, he didn't give you three nostrils or three ears or three knees or three lungs, or some of us got two kidneys, but there's twos all up and down all God's creation, and it's my belief that it's because he wanted to dramatically demonstrate in so many ways that there really are two ways and two choices that everybody can make. So here's what it says in Romans chapter 8. We'll read 1 through 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives life and has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. So he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, got to be the best offer ever, right? Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, because Christ, the law of the Spirit, sets you free from the law of sin and death. You have been found not guilty if you're in Christ. But what if people don't believe the verdict? What if the Bible says that? Holy Spirit dictated it to Paul. Paul wrote it down for us, and we don't believe it. What happens? Have you ever been to Ferguson, Missouri? You ever heard about Ferguson, Missouri? Heard about the story? Right? About a year ago, a white policeman about my size was on duty, and a black man 2.5 size times as big as him, they got into an altercation. He felt threatened for his life, and he shot the guy and killed him. All of the people scrutinized everything that happened, and they found him not guilty. But what if the people don't believe the verdict? A year later, they're still blowing up and tearing up the town because they don't believe the verdict. See, that same turmoil can happen in your life if you don't believe the verdict. Now, A on your outline, I did finally get to it. All humanity is condemned to eternal death. To understand being set free from the law of sin and death, we first got to look at death. All humanity is commanded to eternal death. So here we're going to draw this first diagram. So you take your circles, and at the bottom of it, you write a natural man, unregenerated, in the flesh, walking after the flesh. That's how you label it. So as we go from one to the other of the three, you'll be able. It's a natural man, unregenerated, in the flesh, walking after the flesh. And the important thing about this diagram is the triune God, that equilateral triangle that you can draw outside of it there, is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of them equal, all of them the same, and they're outside the person. The most important part of this person is right in the middle, his spiritual part, and in his spirit, it's dead. He's born spiritually dead. He's born in sin. He is an old man. And from that dead spirit, empowered by the devil and the world, it energizes his mind to be darkened. Demonic things like dark. They don't like light. His will is enslaved, and his emotions are twisted, and his body is doing the works of the flesh. And I will write those down for you in just a minute from Galatians. But this is the way all of us start. In the flesh, walking after the flesh. In the flesh is positional. Walking after it is a conditional, functional thing. So, all of us lived in that diagram. Some people may still be there. Now we enter the good guy, the spirit of life. This is the same spirit who was in the creation in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. When the Lord Jesus made man out of dirt, Holy Spirit come and blew that wind into his nostrils, and he became alive. That's the way I read it. But the Holy Spirit was there, wanting to breathe life into those two humans. If those two humans would have never sinned, the babies that they would have had would have been born spiritually alive rather than spiritually dead. Now, it's the same Holy Spirit that wants to help each one of us find Jesus as Savior. Any of us who have been born again, it's because the Holy Spirit enlightened us, wooed us, drawed us, led us. He then wants to help each one of us live the Christ life in our bodies. Be on your outline. All who accept Christ are freed from condemnation into life. Freed. Marty had us sing that song right off the bat. Free. We are freed. No more condemnation when we are in Christ. Accepting God's free gift of salvation in and through us changes you. It changes you dramatically when it happens. And then what's supposed to happen is functionally throughout our life, it will continually lead us into repentance and change to be more like Jesus. Now, please draw this diagram. On the bottom of this diagram, write spiritual man. Regenerated, in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit. So this one is a spiritual man. He is regenerated. His position is in the Spirit, and he is walking after the Spirit. Now, the important part of that is, where is the equilateral triangle? God. It's right in the Spirit. And then the Spirit comes to life. What happened to the old man, the old person that he used to be? It's crucified. It's outside him now. It's set apart from him. The guy that he used to be, the girl that he used to be, he's not that person anymore. He has changed from the inside out. when you look at his mind, it is being renewed. It is not a one-time new and done. It is renewed, according to Romans chapter 12, daily we renew our minds. His will is choosing the truth. He's focused on the truths of God, and he's choosing to believe those truths. He's choosing to believe the verdict is true. He is free. His emotions reflect those right decisions, and his body is presented as a living sacrifice to God, and it's doing the work of God. Now, you'll notice that sin is still there. The world and the devil still tempt this person through the body, but they don't have the power that they used to. Their power is broken. God, for reasons I can't explain to you, didn't decide to take it all away in this body. When he makes us a new one real soon, it won't be there, but it still is in this person. This is the ideal diagram. If you want to put a star above this one and say, this is the one you want to be, this is it. God did this by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, a sin offering for us. We do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is how God has always wanted it to be with us. Him and I, him and you. This is the way he's always wanted it to be. We're in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit. See on your outline, people can choose to follow the flesh. When you follow something or someone, you walk after them. Best way to simply describe your flesh is self. Just spell self backwards and put an H on it and you get flesh. It's the self life. We all did this at some time or another, and some of us still do at times. So here's the diagram, a natural man unregenerated in the flesh, walking after the flesh. And you see in that, that he is walking after the flesh because he really has no other choice. Now, the flesh is self. It's a condition or a tendency within mankind to operate their own strength, reason, centered on themselves. This is the I can do this one. I can figure this out. I don't need any help. I can do this on my own type thinking. Oswald Chambers, my claim to my rights to myself. And that's my personal problem recently. My claim to my rights to myself. That functional thoughts are what's causing me problems in my life. Now, this wanting it for myself, thinking I could do it myself, that all started in heaven with God's worship leader. So if you think that can't be in the church, it was in heaven, man, woman. People in the church can function after the flesh, even though they're born again. Please draw this new diagram. Here we have a Christian functioning carnally. Write that on the bottom. They are regenerated. They are in the Spirit, and you could make the but a lot bigger, but walking after the flesh. You'll notice God is still in the center. You'll notice the old man is still crucified. But the function of the soul is different. The mind is thinking carnally. It's thinking naturally. The will is responding to these sinful things. And the emotions are being indulged. People who let their emotions control their lives function like this. I can give you lots of illustrations of how I can do that. Now, you'll notice that sin is still there, but we drew the arrows coming back together. It seems more empowered. You see that the devil and the world are still involved, and this person is paying a lot of attention to what's going on out there and likes that part of it. So this is a Christian, but he's functioning after the flesh. He's functioning carnally. This person is factually correct, but functionally incorrect. You get that? The facts are right. The function is wrong. And that's done in the soul. Their mind is looking at the wrong things to think about. D on your outline, people can choose to follow the Spirit. Christians can choose to walk after the Spirit. God gives everybody this chance. You can walk after your flesh, or you could walk after his Spirit when you're a believer. If you're not born again, Your only choice is to walk after the flesh. Now, here we're back to the spiritual man who was regenerated. This is the ideal. This is where you want to live, to where your mind is being renewed. And you're probably not going to get that from the national news or primetime television. You're probably going to have to invest personal time in reprogramming, updating the software in the mind that God gave you. And then you're going to have to make hard choices to agree with the verdict, to agree with God says. If you don't, your life will not be good. You'll have problems. You'll have emotional problems. Now, how would one move from functioning carnally to functioning spiritually? Oh, glad you asked. One would need to confess to God the sin of following the flesh, literally walking after Satan, believing the lies of the devil. One would need to change their thinking and their choices. It's not just admitting, oh, yeah, I got a problem with that. It's making the hard choices to make that come about. God wants us to win. God made us to walk with him and through his life, not just now, but eternity. He wants us to walk together in his spirit after his spirit. He'll help us if we'll let him. So, how does it work? First, let's look at what was broken. The woman Eve in the garden was deceived in her thinking to believe that she would be better off and have more meaning or value if she knew what was good and evil. So she ate from the tree of good and evil. In Romans 8, verses 5 to 8, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the fleshly desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, doesn't submit itself to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So people who walk after the flesh set their minds on the flesh. That's what they think. That's the way they think. All of us used to be that way, but we're supposed to be changing. What are those things? Well, in Galatians 5, it talks about acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. I'm only 64 years old. But I've never met a man other than Jesus who hasn't done that. Jesus says, if you look at a woman and think it would be fun to have sex with her, you've done it. People do this all the time. According to the sales of pornography that I saw the other day, women are doing it more now than they used to, too. Impurity? Debauchery? No impure thoughts. Idolatry? Witchcraft? Hatred, discord, jealousy. That could be a lot of church board meetings I've heard about right there, that last sentence. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, divisions. Probably several church board meetings with divisions, factions, envy in them. Now, drunkenness and orgies, we may not have big problems with that. But we're obviously having problems with cohabitation or we wouldn't be dealing with it in national conferences. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The next person can and does these things as a normal way of life. There's your natural man. That's the things that they do just naturally and normally, and they really don't have much choice to do anything else. When you look at the world around us, that's what a natural man does, natural woman does all the time. They walk after the flesh. This person can and does these things as a normal way of life. Now, this Christian functioning carnally is doing the same things. Can have the Spirit of God within him, but unite his body with a prostitute. That's the way Paul wrote it. They can do that. So, is Paul writing that Christians who live their life like this could lose their inheritance in the kingdom? He writes it several other churches as well, like we looked in Thessalonians. I warn you, he says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not fun and games. This is serious business to get our lives to the point where we walk in God's Spirit, after God's Spirit, on a consistent basis. I've been struggling with that recently. But if we don't get it bent around and get it going the right direction, it could be real eternal problems, it reads like. One may want to think this through and think their patterns through and repent. You may never have thought about how am I going to articulate what is a spirit. Never thought, how am I going to explain to somebody what love for God is, joy of God, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness of God. But I think it's things that you should think through and have well-designed, premeditated thought patterns to deal with these things. This is how I live. This is how I understand it to be. These are the pictures that I can draw to try to explain it to you. You should do that, I think. B, people who follow the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. Nicodemus couldn't do that. He couldn't get his mind off the physical. He was walking after his flesh. What are those things? Well, Galatians, it tells us the fruit of the Spirit's love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that we should think on. And I think if you're honest, there's a whole lot of other things that are on the first list that you think about every day more than you think about these things. I read a survey the other day that said an American male in the United States Armed Forces thinks about sex once at least in every 18 minutes. I thought, that's even when people are shooting at you. And I think that a lot of us don't think about these things every 18 minutes. We're thinking about the jerk we got to work for or with, or the problems that are in our lives, or rather than the spiritual things. Against these things, there's no law. So, this spiritual man, regenerated in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, that's the diagram you want to figure out how to be. And the key to it is making sure you have God in the middle, and then it's a soulistic process of changing thoughts, changing choices, and changing emotions based on those facts, those verdicts. You agree with the facts, you agree with the verdicts, and that will change your emotions. Food for thought, follow the Spirit, walk after Him. It's what I'm wanting you to do. It's what I'm wanting to do. So, who's in control? Many people are deceived into thinking that they could be. They could be in control of their own life. Who believes we live in the middle of a spiritual war? Anybody other than me? Who here believes that the world is controlled by spiritual forces? I do. I believe all the world is created by the spiritual realm that God made before He made the physical realm. Now, one thing that the Bible, the Torah, the Book of Mormon, the Quran, the Buddhists, the Baha, the Hindus agree on is that there's a spiritual God. They all agree it's a spiritual God. They don't agree who it is, but they all think there is one. It's only recently in history that the secular humanist religion and our scientists, with all their smarts that they're learning, their religion, the atheist religion, believe in no spiritual powers. They think they're getting smarter, but maybe not. They think they actually are in control of what's going on in this world. That's crazy. Back to Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. That's the natural man. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit of life lives in you because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. A on your outline. If one is in the flesh, they're a natural man. If they're in the flesh. The spiritual forces that control them are demonic, evil. They're opposed to the goodness of God. That's this guy, natural man. We're all born like that. Walking in the flesh after the flesh. We all start here, but we don't have to stay here. B on your outline, if someone is in the Spirit, they're a spiritual man. Spiritual forces that controls them are allied with God. They're good. in the spirit. That's this guy, regenerated in the spirit, walking after the spirit. That's where you want to be. This person wants, this is the person God wants you to be. Thing is, do you want to be that person? Do you want to think those things and change? One can and may live like the next person if they choose so. If you are living this way, you're most likely deceived in some way, and this is the Christian that's functioning carnally. He is regenerated in the spirit, but he's walking after the flesh. You can choose to do that. I would encourage you not to do it very long. Get out of there as soon as you can. Life is all about change. One can change. The best reason that I can think of to change is love. I'm asking you to change it basically because God loves you. So the last thing is, who's your daddy? Romans 8, 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to live to the flesh or according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about adoption to sonship, by which we cry, Abba, Father. Marty led us in that song at the beginning. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also share in his glory. So B, believers, Christians, are adopted children of God. God refers to us as brothers and sisters, as children, adopted children. Adoption has some really interesting legal effects, different from biological children. If you have a biological child, you can cut him out of your will. You adopt some kid, you can never cut him out of your will. You adopted him. You picked him. Who chooses? Oh, I told you the parent decides who they adopt. God the Father, he decides who gets adopted, not the kid. We respond to his spirit, wooing and drawing him, and become adopted children. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die, but by the spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Here again, we're talking about us changing the way we think, the way we choose, the way we feel, the way we live. We can learn to think that the power of sin is dead in our body. And when you think sin's appeal is dead and lifeless, you will find it easier to ignore the temptation when it comes. This time of the year, when you come across a dead thing, it's really ugly, stinky. If you thought about the temptation as dead, moldy, maggoty, stinky, which it really is, if it's painted any other way, it's a deception. B, believers, Christians, are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. So we're heirs. Believers, Christians, get to share in the glory of Jesus, his victory, both now and then. We can do it now. What are the conditions for this to happen? Those who are led by the Spirit of children of God are the sons and the ones who walk after the Spirit. The point today is life through the Spirit. We're reading, thinking, speaking about spiritual truth. Do not be like Nick, who could not think about spiritual stuff. Nicodemus couldn't get his head wrapped around something that wasn't physical and natural. Don't be like that. Don't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the only way we're going to get this is if you give it to us by your Spirit, and we open ourselves up to your Spirit. That means we're going to have to die to ourselves and allow you the privilege of leading us and guiding us down the paths that would make us more like your boy Jesus. So take the diagrams, take the scriptures. Thank you so much for Paul. Thank you so much for Gordon Donaldson, who drew these diagrams years ago and explained them to me. I'm just so thankful for the men that have come before. Just pray that in our generation, there will be men who speak the truth and love you and express it in a way that others would want to join with you and us in this walk of faith. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.